Hey, this is John with the Bodybuilding Pro Series, and today I'm tickled to have with us Jack Titone, a former U.S. Marine, business owner, husband of IFBB Pro Ann Titone, one of the district chairmen out in the Midwest, a IFBB Pro League judge, as well as event promoter for numerous shows. Jack, thanks for taking time out on this very cold day in the Midwest to chat with us about all you've got going on.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having us. And yes, it is cold.
Thank you. But you're up to the challenge. I think you've been living in that area and dealing with that. But yes, guys that live down here in the South, it's the stuff that y'all deal with this time of year is pretty incredible.
Just keep the coffee pot around. We're good to go.
Yeah. Well, I gave that litany of things that you do. It's almost like a running resume, but it really is quite amazing all that you juggle. You've been a trainer. I don't know. You may still be doing that, as well as having your own business, as well as being a show promoter. You're all over the place as far as a district. You're a district chairman, as well as an IFBB judge, called all over the world to judge shows. How do you manage that? What advice would you give to other people that have a problem getting themselves fed in the morning and off to work?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, you got to love what you're doing, right? And two, hopefully you've got a significant other in your life that supports what you do and helps you, you know, with your goals. You know, Ann and I do everything together. You know, as you've mentioned, you know, we promote a hell of a lot of shows here in the Midwest. At one point we were promoting 10. I think this year it's 9. Obviously we're judging every other weekend, either, you know, state show, national show, or pro show. And as you mentioned, our businesses, a lot of our businesses are that, you know, we're privileged to be able to promote these events and take care of the districts that I'm responsible for. But also we own a gym, John. So we, you know, that's a big responsibility, that we have here, in St. Louis. We have the Dungeon Gym, and then, you know, I have a couple small businesses, a security company, and I've just recently started to get involved in, Titone Olive Oil, which is, my uncle who owns that over in Sicily. So, we've got a full plate, but, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way.
Wow, I miss the gym and the olive oil business. It's like, see, and you're actually from Sicily. You've got that on your Facebook page, which struck me as something that people might not.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an embellishment, just because there's so many people hacking this, that, and the other, trying to make it a little bit difficult from them. Our family is from Sicily. I was not born or raised in Sicily, but you know, my grandfather and grandmother were, and you know, that's where we're from originally.
Oh, okay. So you've got ties. We think of you as this big bold U.S. Marine traveling about, people that should be familiar with you if they've been to a national level show or an IFBB show. You're typically there and real friendly, but a pretty big dude and standoffish. People know not to mess with you. If there's a need for a sergeant in arms, you're available.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I've been told on numerous occasions that I appear to be unapproachable, and I kind of get that now. I didn't understand that earlier on, but I spent a lot of, you know, I've had a unique life, John. That, you know, I've started off in the Marine Corps, and I'm a veteran. I was over in Iraq, and joined the police department for, you know, about 5 years, and realized right away that was great work, but in St. Louis didn't pay much. I think it was like $22,000 a year, and went into corporate security and did some stuff with the Department of Defense, and traveled a little bit, and you know, really used what I gained through school and the Marine Corps and the police department to kind of parlay everything that I learned early on in private business, you know, through crisis management, risk management, and owning businesses. And it kind of takes me to where I'm at today. And you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
In specific to your role as an MPC district chairman, which part of the country? And it's easy to ask some people this question because they might live in Florida or in handle a district, you know, where we have three districts within Florida and then a state chairman. But you put on shows in five states, and where are you the district chairman for?
Yeah, well, we've actually put on shows in six different states, and I got a very good working relationship with, you know, the colleagues of ours, fellow chairmen, that, you know, allow that to happen, and, you know, we all reciprocate the favor. But currently I am taking care of Nebraska and South Dakota, but obviously I do shows in six different states, from Missouri, Arkansas, Nebraska, South Dakota. I'm probably missing something in there. We've done shows in Iowa as well. So we talked about this before we started the interview tonight, but you know, we've got a huge broad range that we, you know, we're able to promote our brand at throughout the Midwest, and it's close to 2,000 miles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're proud of that. And, you know, we get some folks that follow us around and do all of our shows, and, that's exciting for us, and it's actually one of the reasons why we started something new this year that maybe we'll get a chance to talk mm-hmm. about, but it's our point series incentive program that we're giving to all the kids that do our shows this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Wanted you to share information about that. I had that in my notes where you're depending on the show participation and their placement, they can actually get points toward having their fees paid for airfare and entry to North Americans or the Amateur Olympia?
Yeah, the way it works is we, you know, what was really good about this is when I've been trying to get this done for a few years. It was something that I put together that the timing had to be right. And we wanted to create a point system that offered the competitors an opportunity to, you know, get to the Olympia Amateur or the North Americans, because, you know, the cost associated with that is very expensive. And in some cases, these kids are doing two or three shows before they even get there. So what we've done, John, is that for every show that you do with us, you earn points from, you know, first place down to fifth place, 1 to 5 points. And what we're going to do at a certain point of the year, you'd have to look on the website, but I think one is in July and the other is in August. For every person that has competed in our shows, and you can do as many shows as you want, you can cross over as many as you want, you're going to earn points. And for each competitor that earns points, we're going to send them to either the North American and or the Olympia Amateur on us. And that's a great, great incentive program. What's really great about this thing, John, is since we've rolled this out, a whole bunch of other promoters have come out with incentive programs for their shows as well. So I tend to think that we started something here, and it's just going to benefit all the athletes within the NPC, and I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Now, for the athletes that are entering doing crossovers for a particular show, could they earn additional points per show?
Right. So, I mean, if you had somebody that wanted to do bodybuilding and classic physique and they wanted to do every one of our shows, mm-hmm. yes, they could earn, you know, they could earn points at each one of those shows and each one of those divisions.
Mm, terrific. Terrific. Yeah, that's a – yeah. And from a promotional standpoint, for it provides you actually additional opportunities to maybe promote the athletes in some sort of a way too. Is that maybe a takeaway for a promoter going, well, okay, am I necessarily getting a benefit back, or am I just benefiting the athletes and it's a one-way street. I see some of the savvy promoters, particularly the younger ones that are in that Instagram era, to where they're always on Instagram, maybe more so than they are on Facebook. They're always looking for opportunities of contest or something that they can do to hold up this athlete and say, you know, look, they've got, you know, do you like this athlete, that athlete, or this athlete? Vote for them, or this and that. Does this provide you some actual additional opportunities to not only provide a benefit, but benefit the show circuit back? Or is it just strictly that you're expecting more will participate to earn those points?
No, I you know, let me answer that question by saying that, you know, it, with the amount of shows that we have now and the growth of the industry within the NPC, these incentive programs and these perks per se, this is something that we have to do because there's just so many shows out there. Mm-hmm. And there's so many competitors out there. So, you know, for myself, it's not like it was, you know, back in the 80s when we put on a show or even 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We actually have to work and make it attractive for the athlete and put on a good show for the athlete and offer them something to come to our show. And I think everybody's realizing that. I think, to your point, I think we've got some new promoters around town, like Joey P. out of Florida. You know, he's doing some fantastic stuff. He hasn't been promoting shows very long, but, he's doing a good job. He realizes that, you know, it's very competitive out there, and he wants to bring something different to the brand, and as I do, and something we've been doing for a few years now. You know, social media has allowed all of us to really market the athlete market the shows. But with that said and done, and to answer your question, you know, our incentive program that we offer through social media and through our website is just that. It's going to help the athlete out. It's going to help mm-hmm. them with cost. It's going to give them exposure. And with our events, we have a social media team that just follows the athletes around backstage and takes pictures and caters to the sponsors as well as the athletes. And we feel that with this incentive program, to include our website by showcasing the athletes and the point winners, mm-hmm. that this incentive program, the point series, is just going to be fantastic and it's going to be well received.
Yeah, I figured you had more up your sleeve than strictly providing them incentive. And to that point, in terms of your productions, you're one of those promoters, one of a growing list of IFBB Pro League promoters that really puts on a great show. The production values are there. Your stage always looks great with great backdrops and such. Could you talk a bit about what you're doing in the NPC Midwest relative to that in putting on a first-class international type of event?
Well, you know, thanks, John, for mentioning that. We pride ourselves on improvement. You know, no one gets to where they're at in life without, you know, falling on their face a half a dozen times. And it's okay to fall on your face a half a dozen times, as long as you pick yourself up and you keep making improvements. I make mistakes daily, and I learn from them. And with our show promotions and productions, that's exactly the model that we have followed. You know, we strive to get better. You know, after every show and at the end of every year, there's obvious things that we know that could have been better that the audience and the athletes will never know about. They never see it, they never hear about it, but we know we did it wrong or we didn't do it as good as we could. And those are things that we improve on. And, you know, I've been fortunate that, you know, my backstage team and my expediting team and my promotion team have been with me for close to 11 years. And that is important as well because, you know, you start to feel comfortable with people and you learn the little inner inconsistencies of how to do things the right way and the wrong way, and you work as a team. And I think that's one of the reasons why folks feel that we do a good production, and I appreciate that. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but if other people are, that's fantastic. They're, you know, they're seeing something that we strive to accomplish, and that is to put on a good production. But I do want to be clear, there's always room for improvement, and I think some of the better promoters will tell you that as well. You can always get better, and you can always do it better, and we're going to continue to push that envelope and strive for perfection.
Well, and again, getting back to, we haven't mentioned the website per se, but mpcmidwest.com is where people can get the information on the 9 shows currently across 5 states that you're covering, and as you mentioned, nearly 2,000 miles across. And people might wonder, say, well, particularly in Florida, where we're a little more compact, or New York, Texas is spread out, California with all those states with larger populations, but I believe your population across those 5 states is about 15 million. So you've got some unique challenges logistically and so forth with having such an expanse of territory where you're putting on shows. What are some of the kind of learning lessons that folks that operate out of more compact districts don't necessarily get? Do you see that you maybe gain some experience that can benefit you, that can also maybe benefit them?
Great question. You know, for me right now, it's I hate to say this because it sounds horrible, but for me, it's like, you know, it's like tying your shoes. We're so used to doing this and so used to the travel and the difference of doing a local show versus, hey, I'm in Omaha this weekend versus, you know, 2 weeks earlier I was in St. Louis. It's easy for us. You know, the biggest thing is just logistically making sure that you plan ahead to have, you know, medals and trophies shipped correctly, and you confirm that. You know, everything that you're going to need for your production is shipped out, waiting for you. What could make it difficult, John, is if you didn't have a staff that traveled with you. We're fortunate that, you know, our team is with us at every one of our events. What would make this very difficult, and what I do see happening to some promoters out there, is that when they travel and their production travels, they may have a little bit of a different team, and that can become challenging. You know, someone's not used to doing something the same way someone is used to receiving it. That's gonna pose some problems backstage with expediters or with, you know, with trophy people or computer people and timing, et cetera, et cetera. But, for us, right now, and I'm proud to say this, there's no difference, you know, for us to put on a show in our hometown or if we're in Little Rock, Omaha, Sioux Falls, or wherever. I mean, our team is that trained to be able to handle everything, that the only challenges we have is making sure our stuff is there in time for us. Other than that, it's work as usual.
Yeah, there's only a handful of you guys that seemingly are accomplishing that throughout the Pro League, and that kind of sets you all apart. I think to your benefit. Have you considered doing one of the international IFBB pro qualifiers? It seems like you would have all the tools and assets to do that if you chose to.
Yeah, I mean, me and Jim have had some discussions over the last couple of years, and it's something that we are actually going to move on fairly quickly, and then obviously, you know, we recently had some changes with, you know, the IFBB Pro League and the other team. And I think what we're going to do now is, you know, there's opportunities overseas with so many great promoters that never had the opportunity to put on events. And I think what Jim is doing now is you're seeing that. You're giving a lot of great promoters the opportunity to put on events, and they're not being handcuffed to do good work for us and to do good work, period. So, you know, that's going to be taking place. So is there an opportunity for us still to do something overseas in international events? Sure. you know, time will tell what we want to do and if we want to do it and if it makes sense for us to do it. But, you know, I don't think you're going to need to see a lot of this over here stateside going overseas, because what I gather in the conversations I've had, we've got a lot of great people overseas that are going to be able to do that.
Well, it seems like initially there are a lot of U.S.-based top-shelf promoters going over to kind of establish themselves and standards, and it seems like your team is definitely one of those that can accomplish it. Like you say, it doesn't matter whether it's in northern South Dakota or southern Arkansas. That's not a big jump. You might be doing something back in olive oil country.
Yeah, I mean, is this something that we could do? Sure. The key ingredient when you start talking international is, are you really going to have a strong sponsorship base to be able to do that? Because, mm-hmm. you know, a huge cost associated with an international promotion is that, hey, are you going to bring your people from the States over? Mm-hmm. Which obviously would be a huge, huge black item number there. Or are you going to use people within the community that you're promoting the event? Now, if you do that, you're obviously going to be training a whole new team at the last minute. So do you really have the production value that you're used to and people are accustomed seeing? So these are things you have to weigh out and understand the bottom line financially. So these are things that we will take into consideration. I know Robin Chang is really good at that. As you'll see, Mr. Lindsay's out there. He's got his entire crew. Him and Tamer are doing a lot of stuff overseas right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, does the future include Midwest Productions over there? Sure it does. Mm-hmm. I think timing's important, mm-hmm. and I would not tell anybody that they're going to see us anytime in the next year overseas, but it's mm-hmm. it's something that we're looking at. We're looking at Italy. We're also looking at Cuba at some point, which, you know, you bring up Cuba, everybody thinks, oh, why? There's nothing down there. There's no bodybuilding community. And I've been told no my whole life, and I love it when people say that when there's no opportunity, because, you know, I've always realized and found a way to open up a closed door. So those are goals for us, Italy and Cuba. And does the future hold that? We will see. But that's something we're looking at for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Caberneros have one in Costa Rica. Serge Sarek has one in the Bahamas this year, and Victor, it got one in the Dominican Republic. But I'm just thinking, well, Jack's doing so much in terms of, and he does it so well that I can just see him getting a part of that 7 billion person international market out there.
Yeah, once again, you never want to push yourself too thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer the way I've kind of been brought up through the industry. And you got to understand, I started back in the early 80s when, you know, we broke away from the AAU. I mean, I've been judging that long and been around this long. Mm-hmm. That, the way I look at this, if I still have promotions, which I do, that could be better and could be pulling bigger numbers, why do I want to be looking outside the USA to put on a show if I still have work to do here?
Sure.
And that's kind of where I'm at right now. There's still room for improvement in some of our promotions, and I'd like to get them up to speed first and foremost before we think about really going overseas, if we even do that.
Sure. Well, in getting into some of the specifics of your shows, your first show is coming up in Missouri, the St. Louis Pro, on May 30th and 31st, correct?
Yes, that's our baby. This will be the 10th year anniversary of that event, and it's grown from a novice show to a two-day pro show and amateur show, and arguably the largest event in the Midwest when you include the attendees, sponsors, and athletes. We pull crazy numbers, and we're very proud of that event.
Now, how you manage that? we say, okay, everybody's familiar with the name of St. Louis and there in Missouri, but it's the largest state population of the state you're doing business in. But you really draw big numbers. You draw numbers that aren't they exceed pretty much everything we do in Florida. But we've got maybe a larger number of total shows, but that's a Texas or New York level show entry. And how do you manage that? What's the secret ingredient in St. Louis?
Well, there's no secret ingredient. It's not St. Louis. I would say that if I had hypothetically, if we had 500 kids at our show, which is common for this show, the Midwest Championship, we're maybe pulling 100 to 150 local kids. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is coming from, we're pulling people from Texas, Arkansas, Illinois, Tennessee, Nebraska. We're pulling from everywhere that we've done an event. And so there's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about this traveling circus NPC Midwest production that we do, mm-hmm. that, people follow us. And, why are these numbers so good? I think it's because we've been doing this show for so long. We've had great venues. We've had great guest performers. And we've just put on a great promotion that, it is what it is. The funny thing about this show, John, is that it was in 2014 that, we went from having, 150 people at the show to, in 2015, it went from 150 to like well over 300, almost 400. And we weren't ready for that. We had no idea that we were going to get that growth because 170 people showed up that day at check-ins that had not called us wanting to compete. So you can imagine the logistical problems we had at that show that, we were anticipating 150 people, and then all of a sudden we're close to 400 in a one-day show. We had problems that day. And, we had a prejudging that ran into a final, and the finals lasted long, and everybody was upset, and the show was too long. So we had to adjust from that point. And the first thing we had to do was communicate to everybody that, hey, listen, we're going to take the hit for the show being so long and strenuous for you, but you got to get your entries in. You got to get them in early. If you don't, there's going to be a little bit of a late fee. But we also adjusted and made the show a two-day show. And we brought on more pro shows. And this year we got 9 pro divisions or 8 pro divisions to include the big NPC show. And we got our numbers back up in 16 to well over 500 NPC and right around 100 pros. And when that happened, everybody in the country were like, including Jim Mannion, no one could believe our numbers. That just doesn't happen, in 2015 and 16 with local shows. It mm-hmm. doesn't happen. That's like a national show, right?
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's it. I don't know if there's more luck here, than anything to really pinpoint what we've done. I don't think we've really done anything differently than a majority of all the other great promoters out there. I just think we've been, we really push it and we really market it and we really try to improve it. And, we just, once again, get back to that first thing we talked about today is trying to always improve. That's it, John. You just got to keep improving. Hopefully these athletes love it and they want to come back for more.
Yeah, I think it was there in 2014. It was just such a seamless sort of operation. You come into the airport and the host hotel was fairly close right there. What is it attached? It's
yeah. And 14, we were at the Chase Park Plaza, which is mm-hmm. A very very expensive hotel that we work out a great deal for the kid. But we've mm-hmm. moved. Mm-hmm. We're now in Union Station of St. Louis, which is downtown St. Louis, which is one of the best venues mm-hmm. in the entire country. And what's great about this the ballrooms that we have. And by the way, we have all the ballrooms. That's how big this show is for the sponsors and the expo area. But everything's downtown. Everything's great. You know, the airport's right there. You're 20 minutes from the airport, 15 minutes from the airport. We're in the restaurant and bar district down there. The retail business is right down there. And generally, we have this show on Easter weekend, which most folks think is a little bit taboo, but it works for us. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes out Easter weekend, they do the show, and then they leave on a Saturday and go spend Easter with their family. So it works.
Yeah. It seemed to be such a, just the feel of the show, you know, the several years back, it just seemed awesome. And I think Joe with HD Physiques is one of your head sponsors for the MPC portion.
Yeah, Joe is one of our main sponsors, along with the main sponsor, which is First Form. HD Physiques and Redcon are our three titled sponsors this year. Joe's been on board with us for about the last four or five, and First Form has been with us from day one. They've been the title sponsor of this event for 10 and 11 years. Redcon's jumped on board the last couple of years, and then obviously, you know, we have tons of other folks that just support us. This year we've had another big sponsor jump on board for all of our events and has really contributed hugely for the athletes and financially, and that's ProTam. And I can't say enough of their contribution to us financially, as well as all the perks they're given for the athletes. So we're blessed in that sense. And we're just hopeful and thankful that that event's going to be big again this year. But once again, John, you know, with all the additional shows coming on board, I think we're, you know, we can't just sit back and be thankful that an event has done good in the past, because that doesn't mean it's going to do good in the future. So we're constantly still working to improve. And with this year, what we're doing a little bit differently is that, you know, we're considering doing some live streaming if we can work that deal out. But we're also going to be doing a lot of social media at this show, meaning that we've got a whole team designated just to be out there interviewing the sponsors and athletes and utilizing all the different formats on social media to get the word out. And we did this last year, and, it was well received. There was so much social media going out on all of our different social media platforms that there was about a 3-hour lag on everything that we posted. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of material going out. And everybody loved it, and I think we reached everybody, and that was fantastic. You know, another point to make the point here is that this St. Louis Pro Show, the pro side of this, is almost become an international show. And what I mean by that is we had close to 18 different pro athletes from different countries coming to do that show last year. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty remarkable. And I think this year we'll probably easily do that, since we've added all the Pro Masters. And it's going to get to the point that, you know, this 2-day show could go into a 3-day show. And if that does happen, you know, once again, we'll be thinking the man above and trying to make more improvements.
Yeah, it sounds kind of easy the way you describe it, just do everything right, but I'm sure you're having to second guess and third guess every decision and every nuanced aspect of what goes on to make it all happen and move it forward in a positive direction.
And you know, John, I used to have, you know, this is the old Marine in me, I used to have a problem micromanaging. And about the first 5 years, and now I've learned, because my team is so damn good, that I just need to back off and let them do their things, kind of watch mm-hmm. everything as an oversight. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, it's not that tough for us anymore. You know, mm-hmm. It's really easy to do what we need to do for these kids. We really try to communicate. I mean, we put out a schedule for them 3 months before the show. You know, for the St. Louis show, we've got a schedule put out already that's on an Excel spreadsheet that gives them the times of check-ins, the times are going on for the pros and the amateurs. It's the little things like that that mm-hmm. makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And as you know, these kids don't need a lot to go bad for them to start to stress out.
Right.
And we want to remove that from the equation.
Right. Well, and I might should rephrase what I was saying because it was too broad and just maybe it was too much of a platitude. But you know what works, and you've established what works, like you're saying, with the things that the athletes need, having the right information, having everything that they need in place to make them comfortable and make for a smooth running show. If you need to extend it to an additional day due to anticipated entries, you'll do that. But at the same time, you're taking into consideration the need for increased social media as I've seen, particularly the younger promoters versus, say, the promoter that's 30 years old versus the promoter that's 60 years old that may not even be using Facebook. So many of the social media population is, particularly the open group under 30, they're on Instagram more than they are on Facebook. So you have to somewhat adapt to that, which that wasn't even an issue 2, 3, 5 years ago. Whereas you're probably considering all of these sorts of nuanced things while you've laid the groundwork for a first-class international event that's welcoming to everybody with your good team that's going to instill those standards that you've set and established while you're thinking about what do I have to do next on the grander scheme.
Yeah. You know, we were actually one of the first to be utilizing social media the way it's supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a lot of folks picked up on it. And, you know, I'm not young by any stretch. I'm 53, but I realized right away 5 years ago that mm-hmm. the impact that social media could have before it's really, you know, when we just, you know, had Twitter and Facebook and before Instagram came around. But, it's huge. And if you use it the right way, you know, it can have a huge impact. You know, with us, you know, everything that we put out goes through Twitter and Instagram and winds up on Facebook. So we're hitting, mm-hmm. you know, we're hitting three different platforms. Anytime we put out an interview or anytime we put out, pictures, et cetera, we're hitting everything the mm-hmm. way we do it. And we're hitting it on multiple different levels, meaning that, you know, we have, you know, I have 7, 8 different show pages on Facebook. I have 10 different Facebook pages that we target, and all of them have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 30,000 followers. Mm-hmm. And that's not including what we do on Instagram, that we equally have those type of pages too. So to include Twitter. So we're hitting, you know, when we start to put out stuff at a show, we're hitting probably close to 200 to 250,000 different people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge impact. But you can't figure that out overnight. I mean, you can figure it out overnight how to do it, but it doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it overnight until you get those followers and,
right.
and those people, as you know. So, or you can go out and buy it, which I don't recommend you do, but it takes a while. But, you know, thank God for social media, because it's made promoters' lives so much easier. It's made the athletes easier to market themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's put the supplement companies in a different world, that a lot of them, you know, don't need show promotions anymore, which is unfortunate, but it's got a huge impact for every business, John.
Yeah, for the, you know, my personal thought on that with the supplement companies not necessarily needing the show circuit is if there's one thing, I saw one of the guys at Animal was making that point that you know, they can reach their audience direct, and it's not necessarily people that follow a show circuit. But if it's bodybuilding related, you have to be, it would seem there has to be some ethos that it's attached to, and it's competing in an event, a comparative lineup. Anybody can put out their photoshopped image on social media and claim to be a bodybuilder, but if you're never going to get in that lineup, I mean, so... I'll always be a supporter of the show circuit, for the, not just for the sake of the fact that I shoot shows, but What makes it bodybuilding if you're never going to get on stage and compete against anybody else?
Right. Well, I think these companies, and it's not just supplement companies, but, you know, it's clothing companies, you know, anything related to, you know, our industry or the MMA industry has realized that they kind of go in phases now. They want to build up a social media brand. They want to get the followers. They want to market and market sales that way until they get to a certain point that they can put up, you know, they can start putting, you know, a person that's established, you know, 200,000 viewers on YouTube, and now they can put that person in at a show, you know, and that's phase two of their marketing plan. And that's kind of what you're seeing right now. And as you know, every year we get a whole bunch of brand new companies. But what promoters aren't realizing, and I didn't pick up on it right away until I started trying to figure this thing out, is that they're going through phases. Phase one with a new company, what are they doing? They're just going to market themselves. They're going to use social media. They're going to build their brand, build their likes, build their followers, build their athletes. And when that gets to a certain point that they're comfortable, then they start popping in shows, and that's phase two. I think where we're at right now with a lot of these new companies, I think this year you're going to start to see, hopefully, phase two with a lot of these newer companies, and they're going to start popping into shows a little bit more than they did last year. And I think the economy is going to help that out too.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Looking to lose weight, gain muscle, lean out, bulk up? Well, I do it all. Personalized service, detailed workouts, and most of all, results. So, you have an upcoming wedding, cruise, class reunion, or just adopting a healthier lifestyle, hit me up. I'm at Travalis@gmail. Or on social media, Instagram, IFBB Pro, Travalis Blunt, or Travalis Blunt on Facebook. Hop in my DM or message me. And back to the show.
I'd like to say, too, props to you promoters that are dealing with these circumstances with potential vendors, because it's not always as easy or as clear-cut as somebody says, I want to be a vendor or a sponsor at your show, here's $500, $1,000, or $5,000, whatever the figure may be. But you're actually having to run a significant business behind the scenes, negotiating, collecting fees, managing those relationships. That's more than a full-time job, I would think, doing it on the scale that you're doing it.
It is, and that's difficult to do, you know, because from the earlier point that I made about the sponsors and where they're at in their marketing and where they're at as a business, you know, some of your shows are going to have 40 booth sponsors, where other shows are going to have five. And that makes it difficult for the promoter or the chairman to really grow that show financially. You know, the more money you make, the more you should put into the event to grow it, right? Right. Well, if you can't get financial growth in a show because sponsors now that are pick and choose the best shows to go to, why? Because there's so many shows now. So it really makes it difficult, much more difficult than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And I get back to my earlier point about making sure that all our events are where they need to be before you go overseas. That's exactly my point here, that it all kind of ties in with all these amounts of shows right now, that the sponsors now are always pick the best show for them to go to. So it makes it harder for the promoter. What is that promoter doing different than the other promoter? You know, so yeah, you got to always be working. You got to always be improving.
And it's not necessarily the promoter that's paying you the most money that's you've got the most difficult circumstance with. Sometimes it's that guy that isn't putting as much in that you get 10 phone calls a day from, I would think.
Yeah. And it's funny it works that way. You know, with some of the new sponsors, you know, you kind of got to walk through everything, and that's fine. You want to do that. You want to have that type of relationship with them. But you know, everybody wants to be, you know, if you have a title sponsor, and let's use First Form as an example. Chris and Andy, very good friends of mine that own that company, you know, everybody wants to be next to their booth. So every sponsor that I get wants to be next to their booth. That's the common first sentence. And, you know, I've learned from that. Okay, well, how can I offset that? You know, maybe there's an opportunity to create another type of sponsorship then, you know. And, but at the end of the day, you know, a lot of those smaller sponsors are wanting to associate themselves with the folks that have established themselves. And if these sponsors are someone like First Form, who also owns Supplement Superstore, which is a retail chain in the Midwest, it makes sense for them to try to get next to them so they can possibly get in their store. And we get that, and we try to help them with that. And we realize that, you know, everybody can't be in that position to be next to the title sponsor. And I would assume that Andy and Chris can't put everybody in their store. I mean, that's not personal. It's just business. So that was one of the reasons why a couple of years back we created this social media team to really help these new companies get exposure outside of what they're doing. And as you know, John, come show day, you know, we got everybody following us. Whoever's going to be your media person with us, it's Steven and Joe Bear. They're going to be following everything they're doing, and that's a great exposure to have.
Well, you got a lot on your plate. How about let's running through some of these other shows. If we go by, I don't know if we should go by state or date, but you've got the August 11th show in Missouri, the Midwest Naturals.
Yeah, that's a pretty good show. That was a show that worried me because, you know, the NPC, you know, years ago was really never big into the natural world. And, you know, before we started doing shows here in St. Louis, there wasn't any NPC for a long period of time. The NPC was here, and then, you know, promoters had come and gone, and there wasn't any NPC presence for, hell, 10, 15 years. And so all the natural organizations kind of came in and really dug in deep and created a good brand for themselves. So, you know, I thought there was an opportunity here if we did it right with our production value that, you know, let's get into the natural world and see what we can do. First year was a nightmare. You know, we had 30 kids and, you know, we had to deal with all the drama associated with that with, you know, some of the other federations, you know, wanted to take shots at us for getting into the natural world. And we kept it professional. We didn't entertain any of the negative vibe out there. And we just continued to do what we do. And that is to be honest, forthright, you know, put our drug analysis record up against anybody. And we started, you know, putting out, you know, what all the other folks were doing. The other federations were doing, but we were making our drug testing a little bit more strenuous. And it worked for us. And now everybody stays clear of that date. No one wants to even come close to the date that we're doing that natural show now because it's become a pot house.
Nice.
But everybody stays away from it in the other organizations. And that's great. And the model here was really simple. You know, we didn't feed into the drama. We didn't play into it. We just continued to do what we needed to do. We gave us ourselves 3 years on it, like any smart businessman would, to grow it. And by year three, that's exactly what we did. We had a full area of sponsors, and we had 100 to 150 natural athletes. And in the natural world, that's a big show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's worked for us, and I'm happy with that show. And we may have some opportunities with that show in the near future to really make it special, and that's about all I can say right now. But we're talking to Jim Manning about some opportunities there to really make a difference within the NPC in the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can pull that off, it's going to be something special. But I don't want to say any more than that right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's eye-opening, and congrats on the accomplishments there. 150 at a natural show. Yeah, that's incredible. At a tested show. So, and you've also got, we mentioned the St. Louis Pro, but don't you have three shows before that? One in South Dakota and two in Nebraska? I mean, your year is kind of flying off the handles here already.
Yeah, we got, I think we, our first show of the year is the St. Louis Pro Midwest Championship. And then we're in Nebraska for the Nebraska Pro Men's Physique and Muscle Classic show, April 28th. Okay. And then we're back in Omaha May 12th with the Central USA Natural Championship. Okay. And then we're back in Omaha June 9th for our second biggest event, which is catching up to the St. Louis show, and that's the Wings of Strength Omaha Pro Duel of Champions. And we've actually added to that show as well this year with four big pro divisions and a big NPC show. And I think I forgot the Battle of Falls in South Dakota, which I believe is also
May 5th.
May 5th. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to keep them all on track. But in the first couple months, the first 4 months out of the year, 5 months out of the year, I think we knock out five or six shows. Mm-hmm. And then we take a little time off in July. Then we're back in St. Louis in August for the Midwest Naturals. And in September, we have the big Arkansas Pro All South Muscle Championship, and then we finish off two shows, the Nebraska State Championship, and then the Central USA Championship in Sioux Falls with Pro Bikini. Okay. So it's going to be a big year, great events. We do need to get some more support from folks in that upper Midwest area to come down and support the Sioux Falls area so we can continue to put promotions up there in the pro show. That's a great market too. That's just gone. You know, they didn't have any resources for years. Mm-hmm. I think they've had one show up there in the last, 20 years, John. Mm-hmm. And we took over that area, about 2 or 3 years ago. So we're slowly growing that market. It's going to take a while, especially with the population being what it is compared to some of those other demographics we're in. We don't expect a whole bunch, mm-hmm. but we do want to see, 80 to 100 competitors a show up there, and I think it's something that we can do.
Right. Yeah, South Dakota is like under a million in total state population, but is it a national qualifier, open?
It is a national qualifier. Mm-hmm. The unique thing about and Nebraska to a certain point that most, the population may say a million. I think with Nebraska, it's about 4.8 in the Omaha area. But, that population is really in one small area. And then the rest of the state is completely rural. Mm. And Sioux Falls being the biggest city there, and you get outside of that, it's really dense. It's a lot of countryside, wooded area. Great for hunting, obviously, mm-hmm. but the population is what it is. So, mm-hmm. we are developing relationships there as we speak. Not a lot of retailers up there for supplements. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot there, but we have made huge strides in the last 3 years. We had one retailer up there, and now we're at three. We've got a great relationship with Rexus Nutrition that's in Omaha, Nebraska, and after putting events up in Sioux Falls, they've decided to, let's follow this train, and they're putting retail shops up in Sioux Falls, which is going to help us out greatly, with getting athlete sponsorships and having the opportunity to get supplements. We think that, it's going to make a lot of sense for that growth up there.
Wow. It's amazing the implications of all that you're involved in, because it's almost like community and business development for other markets, as you're describing, with the supplement nutrition business in these various areas and having to be keenly aware of the demographics and population spreads across all of these different states. It's just kind of mind-boggling.
It's very amazing, most folks will come into an area that they want to do a show, and they'll just look at the demographics of the population numbers. Mm-hmm. And I used to make that mistake. into an area and you're immediately, there's some resources that can be afforded to you, but also the athletes, you're really going to make your job difficult. And in regards to Sioux Falls, you know, there wasn't that much. They've never had any resources up there as far as workshops, bodybuilding events, not a lot of retailers up there. Anybody that was doing bodybuilding was going outside of the state and going up to Minnesota and North Dakota or coming down to Nebraska doing an event. So, you know, one of the things I mentioned already, but I realized that this thing's never going to work unless we can get some support from some of these supplement companies. And if there aren't any supplement companies, we need to try to create the opportunity for somebody to come up here and do some business. And we were able to do that by just putting on the shows and already having a good working relationship with Tim Rexis, who owns Rexis Nutrition out of Nebraska. And he has 12 stores, just opened one up in Missouri. He's going to be opening up two this year in South Dakota. So it helped us out greatly. And by having them up there means that, you know, now we're going to have the ability to have local tan companies up there that can push their tanning product through his store and sell it there. And to your earlier point, by this networking community that we make, it benefits everybody, but it doesn't happen overnight.
No. Well, and like you say, with the support from ProTan, I'm sure Stacy and Rob would be happy to help provide those tanning products to some of those local tanning companies and so forth. But you've created a network through your show circuit and sponsorships to where it's really an entire business unit and package that can benefit a community.
If I can mention Stacy real quick, you know, they're coming on board. And you know, this is going to – I've been in this industry for over 30 years judging. I've been only promoting events for about 11 years. And I've always had one tanning sponsor. And they've always done an exceptional job for me. And Stacy has been soliciting us for about 2 or 3 years hard. Him and his son. An opportunity opened up here after last year. Nothing against the other tanning sponsor, but just a better opportunity opened up. And it was really difficult, John, for me to make a change because, you know, I don't like change. I like working with people. I like to have that support of them. And if I feel comfortable with somebody, that's building and helping building your brand, why make that move? And that's why, you know, the people that I have working with me are still working with me. We established that, teamwork. But looking to the future and looking what we needed to do and how we needed to adjust, to the, you know, the amount of new shows coming on board, the growth of the NPC and the IPB Pro League, and where we wanted to take this to, and, you know, a better opportunity for us with the athletes and financially, it was making it very difficult the last 2 years, and we finally just, you know, persistence of ProTan knocking at my door, wanting to be part of our shows, won me over, and we're grateful for that. You know, we think it's going to be a good fit. Stacy's called me personally 2 or 3 times just to see how things are going. He says he wants to come to St. Louis. He's going to be in St. Louis for that event. And, you know, that's what you want to get from your sponsors and the people you're working with. And I think those type of relationships is going to make everybody involved, being ProTan, Midwest, our events at Midwest and our team, everybody much better.
Yeah. Well, and competition is good within the market. I think Stacy with his Steel Fit brand as well now is looking to double back and do a lot more tanning at events, and he's serious, and where he's putting that pressure, it's going to benefit. But I get the same thing with competition and the market of what I do. It drives you to be better, to strive to provide better service, more economically, doing whatever you can. But And then, you know, if you put the passion in it too, that kind of helps us all drive and kind of create a glue going forward, I think. you know, kind of to stay on target and strive for excellence in all things. Well,
yeah, you know, on a one more note I'd like to make, John, you know, without these sponsors, these shows don't happen.
No.
Or the size of these shows don't happen. And we've been blessed that we've had huge financial support from some key sponsors. Number one being First Form. You know, they've been with us forever. You know, Joe has helped out over the last 4 or 5 years. I'll give props, to Liquid Sunrays when they were on board with us. They supported our show financially greatly. And obviously we've had Aaron with Redcon the last couple of years really helping out. And now we've got ProChan on board. Without those companies I've just mentioned, these great shows and us having the ability, Ann and I, to continue to grow them or add extra pro divisions. Because these pro divisions are expensive to put on, you know, anywhere from $7,000 to $30,000 between sanction and purse.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to usually recoup that through ticket sales, John. You know that.
No.
So without having, you know, financial support from these sponsors, we're not able to grow these shows to what we're doing. So we're fortunate that we have that financial support. So I want to thank them greatly, and hopefully they'll be listening to this and hear that.
In what you said there, like on not necessarily recouping your fees and ticket sales and needing the sponsors, it's kind of vital to have that pro circuit in a sense, because as you're establishing these markets, that actually creates a draw. Like you said, with the St. Louis show having maybe 20 athletes from 20 countries coming into the area, that's good for everybody considered, but you're having to, you know, chew those fingernails and sweat those bullets to make sure that you can make it all work, and the sponsors help with that, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better. Other than maybe add that at the end of the day, it's almost like we're playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at the end of the day, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't definitely predict that we're going to have 300 athletes. And we're going to have 20 to 40 sponsors, and we can only hope. You know, we can only go off of what we've done in the past, make some type of mathematical adjustment to that, and hope that at the end of the day, that ticket sales are going to be what you hope and what you predict them to be. Because there's no sure thing in promoting. It's like playing blackjack.
Yeah.
You can only try to make it the best you can by providing the best possible production you can, and hope everything else falls in place.
It's the joy of being a kind of a private business owner too. It's a lot of hard work and applying some tried and true expertise and methodologies and a whole lot of prayer.
while at the same time you're dealing with that, you still got to put on a smile and answer every question that the competitor needs, because they're going to come to you throughout the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're dealing with their own problems of, you know, tanning, makeup, you know, mm-hmm. worrying about their diet, their water manipulation, whatever the case may be. They don't care what you're dealing with on the promotion side. You may have 20 things that are going wrong at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you best not show it. You best mm-hmm. not vocally demonstrate it. And you best take care of those kids at the show, or it will reflect on future shows. Trust me on that.
Yeah, I think the old rule of retail is for every customer that complains, there's 10 more that just don't say anything but don't come back, right? So,
yeah, absolutely.
And you want them all coming back, plus. So.
Yeah, we do. I think everybody does. You know, I think Gardner's really good at that. I tend to think I'm really good at that. At the end of the day, you always do realize the older you get, you can't make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
You try to. You, obviously, you want to listen to everything everybody says, a lot of it will make sense. Some of it you may not even be able to do anything with because it may affect some other things that does make sense. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think you said it perfectly. You know, we are in the retail business to a certain degree, and you know, taking care of the kids is first and foremost. Needs to be paramount, and you need to keep your ears open sometimes, your mouth shut, and everything will be perfect.
If there's anyone looking for advice that might think they want to get into promoting or even expediting or test judging, how should they contact you? As well as, well, just make it even broader, for information about your shows and such. You want to give the promo for how they can reach Jack Tatone on all things?
Yeah, they can get up on me very easily by just going to NPCMidwest.com. Now, obviously, if you're an athlete, we have all of our shows up on the site. By state that we're going to be in, we may be adding a few more by a few different states by the end of the year. I'm still working through that right now. My email's on there. My phone number's on there. I'm easy to get a hold of. I usually get back to people pretty quickly on email within a day or two, unless I'm judging an event. Then it's usually the following Monday. But yeah, if anybody has any questions, you can reach out to me, drop me an email. If it's important enough, you know, I will give you a call. You know, I'm not one of those folks that don't call people, you know, but based off of what the question is or what the problem is, you know, email is usually first and then a phone call. If you're somebody that, you know, if you're a pro wanting to do my shows, obviously reach out to me. I'll answer any questions, that you have or put you in contact with somebody that can help you out. And obviously if there's anybody out there that, you know, wants to test judge, reach out to me as well. We'll get you set up in at one of our shows, and we're always looking for new promoters too in our district. So anybody out there that's interested and they fit the criteria and they're financially viable, give me a call and we'll sit down and talk to you and see what can be done.
Awesome. Well, we certainly appreciate you spending the time with us today talking about all things show promotion and what you're engaged in. You got so much going on, Jack. I don't know how you accomplish it, but just keep doing what you do, sir.
Well, John, you know, once again, thank you. You know, I don't know if a lot of the newer kids know your history, but you know, I've known John from your days back in MD, and you've been a big supporter of the health and fitness and bodybuilding community for years and years and years, and you do a great job in what you do with your photography and your social media. So we need to get you out at one of our shows soon, and I want to thank you for your support and keep doing what you're doing, my man.
Well, thank you very much, Jack, and look forward to having you back on through the course of the year as needed. You got so much going on, and you're a great resource. So we'll look forward to talking to you again, and maybe about how Ann's doing. She's not coming back to the stage, I suppose, right? We can't encourage her.
No. Ann is running the Dungeon Gym for us, and she does a great job down there. She's really put a lot of time and effort into the gym. Making our gym business is another whole different story itself. That's very, very challenging and competitive industry. But that's her baby right now. You know, that's her love. That's her passion. As far as coming out of retirement, that'll never happen. You know, she's still got injuries that she's battling with, and her goal right now is to have a baby and to continue to do what she loves most at this point, and that's the gym.
Awesome. Well, is she still judging? She's still doing seminars with you, that sort of thing?
Yeah. She'll be doing she's an IFBB pro judge as well and a national judge, so you'll see her on the circuit. She's going to be with Gary Udit and I February 11th at a big workshop in St. Louis at First Forms headquarters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'll see her at Junior Nationals and Team U and USA's, and I know she's already got 5 or 6 pro shows she's going to be at this year in the Midwest judging, so she'll be busy as well.
It's always great to see you, but she's a whole lot prettier.
Yes, she is.
Have to be honest. She's a lot prettier, Jack.
That's okay, buddy. I understand.
All right, Jack. Well, thank you very much for being with us today, sir.
All right. You have a good week. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you soon.
For the best look on stage and most convenient, hassle-free service for your bodybuilding fitness event spray tan, look no farther than Hotspot Competition Tanning. Elisa and her crew have perfected their service at contests throughout Florida and beyond with the recognition and support of the majority of athletes and event promoters. Visit hotspotcompetitiontanning.com to schedule your competition airbrush spray tanning and competition makeup and hair appointments.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really been focusing on and trying to bring up this season is my middle back, my rhomboids. Shout out to Dr. Green over at Performance Driven Chiropractic here in Orlando, Florida. If you're in need of any work, guys, go ahead and pop in. Tell them that Travalis Blunt sent you. They are literally chiropractic savants. You just simply have to describe the problem. You know, they kind of get to touching and feeling around and instantly find it and diagnose it and get you on the right track. And they've made me better in a matter of weeks. So I'm sure they can help you also. But I needed for my rhomboids to pop. And, you know, they've been working with the scraping and some cupping and all of these different procedures to really, you know, help me to be the best that I can be. So, yeah, if you're ever in need of any work, go and holler at Dr. Green over at Performance Driven.